When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is the Hans Shot First Podcast.
They don't know it, I'm telling you.
We'll be talking in-depth about common movie moments.
From my dead body.
With the mix of all things pop culture along the way.
Yeah, all Scott.
Okay.
Welcome, everyone, to Hans Shot First. I'm Jeff, joined as usual by Scott and Alex. Say hello.
Hello.
Hey.
This week, we're talking about fire in the sky.
And smoke on the water?
This movie came out in 1993. Directed by Robert Lieberman. Written by Travis Walton and Tracy Torme.
Oh, every time somebody says Robert, I think Loggia now. It's like, oh, Robert Loggia? No, Lieberman. Ugh.
Sorry, starring D.B. Sweeney, Robert Patrick, Craig Sheffer, Peter Berg, Henry Thomas, James Garner. Who else you got here? The guy from City Slickers. Who played the sheriff or whatever?
Noble Willingham.
Oh, that's Noble Willingham.
Yeah. It also has Catherine Wilhoit. Did you guys recognize her?
No.
She is...
She's the blossom-looking lady?
Yes. She's the one, like, sort of waitress friend from Roadhouse.
Oh, yeah.
That's the only thing I ever... I can remember seeing her in. Yeah.
All right. D.B.
Sweeney, just real quick. D.B. Sweeney, Hollywood's finest nostrils.
God damn it.
Sorry.
D.B. Sweeney, what happened to that guy? That guy sucks. All right.
No way.
I know. He's in your favorite movie of all time, so therefore. No?
It's true.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right. This was my pick. It is funny. This is. Anyway. As I've mentioned many times in this podcast, I was obsessed with alien stuff when I was a kid, terrified of all of it, and yet I would still watch anything having to do with aliens, sightings, unsolved mysteries. And then 93, right? This is right when X-Files comes out. Like, it was all over the place. I guess Fox would do all this stuff. And so somehow I knew about the Travis Walton story before Fire in the Sky. So it must have been a special episode of sightings or something, but I was 100% on board with it, but terrified out of my mind to watch it. I don't believe we saw this in the theater. Me and a couple of my buddies rented it and watched it, and I don't think I even saw the end. I was like watching through my fingers the whole time. And this story I was obsessed with. When I was in high school, I used to draw little aliens like just as on my notepad and have little word bubbles like, here, Travis, Travis, Travis. And I'd show it to my buddy Adam, and I'd get him to laugh every single time, and he'd get thrown out of class. Those were one of my favorite things to do. We were obsessed with the story. I don't know why. But yeah, watching it now, this movie kind of blows. But as a kid, it terrified the heck out of me.
I disagree.
All right. Yeah. Well,
speaking of E.T., you recognize Henry Thomas, right?
Yeah, this time I did. I did not recognize that when I watched it as a kid. And I was like, that's two of my biggest fears of all time, E.T. and Fire in the Sky in the same movie.
I do wonder if that was stunt casting.
It's got to be, right?
Even though it's kind of a smaller part, but yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm surprised, like, Robert Dreyfuss wasn't in here somewhere. And I don't know, any other person from an alien movie. All right, Alex, what's your history with this movie?
The trailers just look cool to me and my dad. So we trucked on over to our old movie theater back in the day, the Cinedome, and we watched it there. And I remember this was one of the few movies where the projector crapped out right before, like, the syrup hit his face. We're like, oh, man, come on. Ooh, so we're there for, like, 5-7 minutes or something, just waiting to come back on. And then it came back on, and Sween got the syrup in the face.
He got the syrup in the face.
He sure did.
All right, Scott, what's your history with this?
I want to say I saw this all the way through at some point, but it would have been a very long time ago on cable. I remembered some stuff from it, but I don't know if that was just trailer bait. I pretty much feels like my first time watching it. I used Max. I'm calling it HBO Max because it's dumb. I use HBO Max.
Right.
Which should just be HBO. Like, whatever. But, mm-hmm. Anyway, yeah, this was, well, we'll get more into it, but I was surprised by this movie.
All right. And I will say, just Fire in the Sky was one of those, if someone mentioned that movie, it would give me, like, the chills.
It'd give you syrup vibes?
It would. Up until we watched it right now, and then... It's not scary at all, but for the first 40 years of my life or whatever it was just, you'd say it was instant terror, and glad I conquered my fear on this one. But anyway, let's get into it. We're each going to talk about 7 items from the movie. I will go first, and I'm just going to say, I'm tired of these goddamn fucking round glasses. They're killing me in this movie.
Oh, Dallas's glasses?
Dallas, and then that other one of UFO nerds.
Not Ethan Hawke.
This was a style of the time. I don't remember this really being that big of a style, and just I did not like that Dallas character at all. He was a big putz, and I hated him. Well, he wouldn't be a lumberjack. He was a freaking weirdo. And then
it's a drifter.
Whatever. I was just tired of these round glasses. They're killing me. Like, you know, wears round glasses? Drink a tote from Raiders of the Lost Ark. Supervillains. Not these guys.
Mm-hmm. Judge Doom. He had round glasses.
And Judge Doom.
Yeah.
Oh, have you seen Judge Doom? Is that Disney's... Disneyland's Oogie Halloween
Boogie
thing?
Oogie Boogie Boogie.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, it's awesome. And he does the... Yeah, like these little things where you can walk by evil characters and we kind of trick-or-treat. And then he is up there doing a monologue. And he opens up a can of dip, and he has, like, a fake shoe, and he dips it in the dip. It's really cool. Like, I don't think they've ever leaned on the Judge Doom character. It's kind of...
Yeah. They're pulling out some... Yeah, some... dusting off some villains from the past for this year's Oogie Boogie.
So you did that recently, Jeff?
No, I just watched...
Okay.
Laura and I watch all sorts of, like, just Disneyland videos on YouTube and stuff.
So. We're at that point where we don't watch Let's Plays... Like, we just watch other people go into amusement parks.
Other people have fun. Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. Alex, number 7.
My number 7 is... I'm way past the age where I fervently believe that lie detectors are infallible. With what we know now, we know that lie detectors, each and every one, are a bunch of just... fucking baloney. They just, if the only question that is true that the lie detector can detect is, like, is this detector making squiggly lines? Yes. True. That's it. That's all it does. So, knowing what I know now, that scene, it was kind of meaningless for me. But at the time, when I was a kid, it was like, oh my god, they're all telling the truth.
Are they complete bunk? Like,
yes. That's why they're not
they can't be submissive. Yeah, they're not admissible.
They're not. Yeah, no. Like, I agree that they're not, like, reliable, but, like, on aggregate, like, are they going to pick up more lies than not? I think yes.
I think that's true. Yes.
False positives. Yes, you're right.
And it is exactly. It's both. That's why you can't have them in court.
Right. Right. That's why.
When you're trying to prove whether you saw aliens or not, I guess it's a useful tool, but
nah.
But yeah, it doesn't prove, even if, except, even if you get it right, you're still going to second guess him. If you get it wrong, you second guess him. So, mm-hmm. And it was invented by the guy who came up with Wonder Woman, for crying out loud. So
Wonder Woman.
Weird. That guy's a genius. Know that? I did not know that.
Was that in that weird biopic that I never watched?
Oh yeah, with the three ladies, or the two ladies and that guy.
Yeah, the guy was like a weirdo.
Yeah,
but that's why like the Lasso of Truth, it's like all that stuff comes from this guy, and he's in Bondage. He's a pervert.
The Lasso of Truth, however, is 100% accurate.
Yes, I will believe that.
Oh, there's a super cool panel where like Justice League, whatever, and Supes, Batman, and Wonder Woman, like, all agree to like share the true identities, and Wonder Woman goes like Diana, whatever, Princess of Themyscira, and then Superman goes Superman and Clark Kent, and then Batman just goes Batman. whilst they're touching the lasso.
That's right. Every true Batman fan knows that. He's disguising himself as Bruce Wayne.
All right, even though not according to Kill Bill. Anyway, Scott, number 7.
That Bill doesn't know shit.
Yeah, number 7 is there's some good writing here. With the way that they introduced the characters, and some of the other stuff that goes on. But I thought it was clever in the beginning, how they introduced all the characters by going through like the recap with the police guy. Like, yes, it's exposition, like an exposition drop, but I thought it was a very clever way to do it, just to get it out of the way.
Yeah, I agree with that.
I was reading the trivia. I guess there were supposed to be 7 guys, but they cut it down to 6 because they're like it's already kind of too many.
And even then, they really had it down to like 4 guys. Like, yeah, a couple of guys I never even talked to.
Yeah, yeah. It's like Henry Thomas and the other guy.
Yeah.
Henry Thomas was kind of around to be like the weak link, as it were. Mm-hmm. But that was good. I like the way that they there's kind of tension amongst the loggers. It kind of reminded me a little bit of The Thing. They're not necessarily on edge the same way that those guys are that are stuck out in the middle of Antarctica. They're out there doing the shitty work. They've got, you know, stuff in their personal lives going on. They don't really want to be there. There's the squabbling and then the fighting. I don't understand, like you kind of mentioned that Craig Sheffer's character Dallas, they do overdo it a little bit with that, because Robert Patrick does have some agency there. Like he could fire that guy. He's just constantly antagonizing the rest of the crew. The only thing I think of is that he's just like desperate to get the work done, so he puts up with it. But it seems like it's been happening for a while.
Yeah. So he's gonna lose the house. Blossom told him so.
But yeah, but anyways, just like the first like 10-15 minutes.
Oh no, there's a spaceship.
Yeah, 20 minutes. They feel very tight in the way that they introduce that. Like, I like the way they introduce James Garner. I forget the exact line, but when the sheriff is like, "Oh, like you've never like not solved a case," and he's like, "Yeah, that's not true, but I make it work."
It's not a bad myth, or it's not.
And that was a cool way to set up that character, where that character is like not necessarily a badass, but like a, you know, relentless kind of lawman. Yeah, just a lot of like tight writing in the beginning.
He's a close-minded stupid chief, is what he is.
He does kind of a little bit of the stupid chief, yeah. Sure.
I agree with everything you're saying. The one thing I'm not a forester. Don't ever claim to be. I don't know what the fuck they were doing. Just cutting down a couple trees, and here's one guy is going to carry a few logs and put them in the back of the pickup truck. Were they deforesting with the pickup truck? What was going on?
Yeah, I didn't know where they were, like where Henry Thomas was carrying all those smaller branches. Like,
yeah, they were cutting down forever if he's going to take a tree down. But
they were like cutting down whole trees. Were they just leaving the trees there and just picking up the brush? They said specifically that they were clearing brush, though, not trees.
Yes.
So I don't know why they were cutting down trees.
Well, because you've never seen a logging show. Like me and the missus. We've got Yukon logging or whatever.
Okay.
And yeah, well, by the time the show gets on, they all have the machines that they hook the logs onto to pull them up the hill so they can put them on big flatbed trucks and everything. But those trees are already knocked down. So I think what they were doing was cutting down all the trees, cutting off all like the bigger branches on everything so that they're ready to get hauled off. So they needed to clear that entire section, and then afterwards they come in with the big machinery and the big
so they were doing
bed trucks with semis. Work. Yes.
Okay.
I don't think that's going on here.
But... yeah, no, it seemed like I think you're saying some chainsaws weren't going to clear an entire forest though. Like,
well, just that section.
Yeah, I was going to say. I think what Alex is saying is accurate. I just don't think that's what they were doing here. Like, the director's like, okay, we got a few chainsaws in this little part of the woods. Let's cut a couple trees and just show these guys are doing stuff, right? Like, that's what I get out of it.
Also, fun fact, Arizona actually does have forests. Yeah.
Wow.
Wow.
Wow. I was waiting for a chainsaw battle, like a chainsword fight.
That would have been cool.
It's like, what movie am I watching?
All right, we're on to my number six, right? Right.
Yes.
Early in the beginning, when they're like, tell me about Travis Walton or whatever. Oh, he was like my best friend. And then it goes flashback. And D.B. Sweeney, D.B. Sweeney's like, they're trying to show him to be like, he's this lucky-co-lucky guy, and he's riding his motorcycle. He looks so awkward riding that goddamn motorcycle, like he's never been on one before. Just crack me up. And then they were showing like the little his little daughters, and the way they filmed them, they looked like little aliens. And then he's climbing up the roof and looking in the window like an alien. And then he goes upstairs and like creepily staring at the girl sleeping. Like, I don't know if that's what they were going for, because they're like, this is what he's got alien behavior, man.
You know what?
I can't trust this guy.
I don't know about the little girls, but I think I do see a little bit of an abduction connection from him going up through the window.
Yeah, the little girls was just a coincidence. They looked a little creepy, but I think all little kids are a little creepy.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was just him just climbing on the roof and looking through the window at both times, and then him just not being able to ride a motorcycle. I think D.B. Sweeney's just has been a drama nerd his whole life, and then just they put him on a motorcycle, and he's like, all right, here we go. Mm-hmm. That's it. That's my number six. Alex.
Number six. I know we're going to be talking about the aliens later on. I have more to say about them on my list, but for right now, and I kind of didn't make this connection the other couple times that I've seen this movie, but I don't think these guys were licensed doctors or scientists that were abducting people. Like, I don't think whatever alien government they are beholden to gave him a license to operate on.
Alex, would you say that they were illegal aliens?
They sure as shit were.
They were like redneck aliens. They were just out for a good time on the planet Earth.
Or they were poachers. Maybe they took out like some teeth or kidneys or something, or they stole some memories. I don't know. Like to sell in the black market, but nothing in there was very sanitary. And I mean, aliens, you would think, right? Alien scientists, it's like, I think these guys are like backwater, like trappers or something, on the run from the law, just trying to make a couple bucks.
Make some moonshine
out of those human eyes.
Yeah.
If they really wanted to be accurate, like, aliens would have died as soon as they came in contact with the human from the myriad germs
that is true.
that we carry around with ourselves.
Yeah, that is 100% true.
That eventually will wipe out all human life as we know it, you know, but we just haven't been around long enough for it to happen.
Yep.
And then there was specifically D.B. Sweeney. He's got a lot of germs.
Well, he doesn't, because those giant nostrils just filter everything out.
Yeah, that's true.
No, he just gets more in him. He just can suck more in.
Well, he's got the hairs there. They're like, it's more powerful.
One of these drunk backwater aliens fell asleep in a spacesuit, for Pete's sake.
Yeah, that was stupid. Yeah,
who does that?
Like you said, he was drunk. He was
Hey man, what are you doing? Hopped
up on human hooch.
Yeah, I don't think you should be here, man.
The other guys get out of their space suit. Dude, what's up with Gorb? Ah, he's drunk ass. Just leave him in there. I'll come to parties later.
Look, he can puke in there for all I care. I'm not cleaning it up. But they don't clean up anything anyways. Damn, that spaceship was fucking dusty.
Oh, all the loose, like, clothing and other articles. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Lazy aliens, really.
Yeah, lazy fucking aliens.
Yeah, yeah.
Sad, they're the rednecks. They probably got a couch laying around in there somewhere.
that's got duct tape all over it, yeah.
Yeah, and a TV on another TV. All right, Scott, number six.
Okay. My number six, and I didn't understand this part, which is why did they call the UFO guys first?
No way. Because Mike is an idiot.
Like, everything up to that point, it's like, we got to help out Mike. We got to figure this out.
Yeah.
And then he's like, no. Let's not take him to the hospital yet. Let's call these other guys who, like, by the way, have no way, like, indicated that they're, like, medical professionals. Like,
no, they're not. They're the lone gunmen. Like, I bet this is what I thought too, Scott, because it comes out of nowhere. Is this is part of the based on the true story part?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
These guys were the guys that were there when Travis Walton reappeared, and they had to fit that in the movie or something. I don't know, because it made no sense.
Like, it would make more sense if they like snuck into the hospital or something. I don't know, but I did like how much like moxie they had. Where they're like telling everybody else to shut up, like, or leave while they conduct their important like.
We're professional, damn it.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. My number five is that exact same scene with those goddamn alien fingers. And it's stupid now, but oh my God, when I saw this younger, it scared the shit out of me. That's kind of the first sign of aliens. Maybe he has a couple flashbacks real quick, right, when they first touch him. Maybe he does. I don't remember. Yeah. But I just remember those alien fingers going, oh my God, there's aliens out there. Mm-hmm. And then this time I watched it, I'm like, this is stupid. Why would the alien fingers be there? I have no idea. But it scared me. So there you go. There's my number five. Alex.
My number five is the ship didn't, the compositing, of course, it's 93. It didn't look great, but I did like the overall design of the ship. It had like this mushroom shape and everything, but I thought the really inspired design choice was to make it kind of like cracked, like molten lava the way it was moving. I thought that was a really cool idea. Maybe it didn't come together visually, and especially now that we have 4K TVs, but I appreciate the design choices that they made on the ship. It was cool.
I agree.
That's why when they asked what's his face, did it look like a saucer? Well, it's like nothing I've ever seen before, man. I'd have to say no to that question. Because, yeah, it wasn't a saucer.
Nope. All right, Scott. Number five.
My number five. It was like a simple effect. And Alex, you tell me if how much compositing was there or not. But the light coming out of the trees.
It looked like, they were, I think for a base, they did project a lot of lights through the trees. There might have been some light compositing in there, but it was really well done.
Yeah, I just liked it. Like, how, you could mistake it for fire. But then you take a closer look, and it's clearly not. And then, it starts moving. But, what are you laughing, Jeff?
No. I was thinking because they almost, but they never did the cinema sin. I kept waiting.
Yeah, they almost did.
Fire in the sky, but they never did.
Great name for a movie, by the way, Fire in the Sky. But
based on a true story.
Yeah, just it was a simple effect. I was almost disappointed that they showed so much of the UFO. I think the movie would have been better served if it had been much more ambiguous. You still could have shown him getting like kind of flung in the air and have the lights and everything, but like, or maybe some shadows being thrown off by the thing. But I think to leave it up more to the audience, like at that point. Like,
but even with the ending, because it's not really at the end.
At the end it's fine.
No. I mean, like the first half. Exterior. Yeah, but the first half of the movie is like everybody doesn't believe them, and as the audience, you maybe you should wonder. Like,
okay,
you,
I see.
I think that would have been more interesting.
You don't go home wondering, but you... Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
I see.
Like, okay. The first half of the movie, like, as the audience, you'd be unsure as well.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
And that makes, like, James Garner's character make more sense and some of the other people. I'll get more into that, but yeah.
Yeah. I was kind of wondering if maybe, yeah, more of the ship is shown because of the television technology we have. Maybe it's a little bit brighter, stands out. But I'm looking at our low-res, like, screenshot, I'm guessing, from the film. And, yeah, no, the ship is still very prominent, so there's no hiding that thing.
Yeah.
All right. My number four is, who stores syrup without the cap on? My God. That's just... Poor...
It's out in the woods.
Homes owners. Poor house management. I don't know. And it wasn't like it was like a nice maple syrup where there is no squeeze. That was like a Aunt Jemima or Mrs. Butterworth with a plastic bottle and a squeeze top. So, yeah, I don't know.
Well, it was 77. Did they have the plastic bottle ones or were they glass still?
It was probably asbestos.
It's probably made out of asbestos.
Alex, you're probably right on. However, the one they showed on screen was definitely one from the 90s. I don't think they went period specific.
No, they didn't go. They didn't go picking to get the right bottle.
I think that's what it looked like to me, because that was the first thing I looked for. As I'm like, oh, where's the syrup? Where's the syrup? And it sure looked like the old plastic bottle I used to have as a kid. So, yeah. I still don't know why he started freaking out and he went down there to begin with. Like, I understand the syrup hit his lips and that's what threw him into the thing. But why did he start just tripping balls as soon as he got in that house? Just because of all the people?
And then just the
extreme PTSD.
Yeah.
It's too much. It's too much, man.
Alex, number four.
My number four is D.B. Sweeney. I mean, I get that he was a goofball on the motorcycle and everything, but I thought that kind of lent to his character very well. Like, he is just this goofball and everything. He's a dreamer. He's got like, his dreams are farther than his reach. Who knows if he could have accomplished them or not? So it makes sense that this goofball idiot would... Like, whoa, a spaceship, let me go check it out and shit. And, oh, no, I'm abducted. And then the turn, like, when he gets back, he does some really good subtle work. When he's laying there in the hospital bed while Robert Patrick Mike is talking to him and everything. And when he's drinking the water, just savagely gulping down that water from the sink. Oh, that was gross. He did some good work. Not top three work, but number four work.
He really annoyed me in this movie. All right. Scott, number four.
Okay. Now my number four. I really liked that in the movie, people like
aliens
act normally. Like, they act the way you'd think they would act. Like they freak out and run away. Like, that makes total sense, how Robert Patrick's character, Mike, wants to stay and help, but he gives in to everybody else because he's also freaked out, too. So he lets himself kind of be overridden there. I like how, he's already, like, having problems with his marriage, and this kind of, like, pushes him over the edge. So, like, the end of the movie, you know, they divorced, or he's living out in the cabin by himself or whatever. I like the way the townspeople react. I have more to say about that. But all that kind of feels natural. Like how the cops don't believe a word that they say. That's totally believable. And then going back to Mike's character, how his wife doesn't believe him. It would have been easy just to make her be like, oh, I'll support you no matter what kind of thing. But, you know, like, real life's a lot messier than that. Yeah, again, I like that, you know, people, you know, unlike a lot of, like, most horror movies, where they get put in these, like, impossible situations, everybody here is acting like you think they would. I think the movie served well by that.
Yeah. I was going to say, though, that's why I liked What was that movie I tricked Alex into watching? Scary movie with the the woods and The Conjuring.
Yeah, sorry, I had to go kill a spider.
I was just gonna say Alex disappeared on us. Conjuring took him. When the cops, they have the incidents or whatever, then they call the cops over. And then while the cops are there, all the weird shit starts happening in front of the cops, which like never happens in a movie. And they're like, all right, we believe you, but this is beyond us. call a priest. I don't know.
Yeah, there's a cool sequence in one of the paranormal movies where they call in a like an expert or whatever. Like some guy that's supposed to be kind of psychic. Madam, was her name Zelda in
Tussaud
in Poltergeist?
Yeah, Zelda.
Oh yeah,
man. Yeah. So they call him this guy. Like, as soon as he steps foot in this house, he's like, "Nope, I'm getting the fuck out of here. Like, I can't help you. Like, whatever's here is like freaking the fuck out. I'm gone." And he just like walks out.
That was a Conjuring as well.
Yeah. So it's cool to see people who like, nope. we're just people. We're not going to deal with this shit.
It's got to be a nope for me, Doug.
All right, I think what Scott number four. We're going to do that. All right. Wait, we are. Oh,
that was my number four. Was people acting normally?
Oh, okay. My number three was James Garner. I do not remember him being in this. He was good. I liked him. James Garner always reminds me of shit my dad used to watch. So it's good to see
it. Do you still have the Rockford Files song stuck in your head, Jeff?
100%. And Maverick and all the other.
Yeah, Maverick.
But yeah, just he was good here. I didn't realize that he was that big of a part in this. And when he showed up, I was like, oh, cool.
Yeah, support your local sheriff. Support your local gunfighter. Mm-hmm. Remember those.
Anyway, James Garner. Alex, number three.
My number three is the church scene where everybody goes to a town meeting except for Mike because he was not invited. Are you going to talk about this, Scott? Is this what you're talking about?
Not directly.
Okay. I love this. It was great. Everybody's like turning on Mike and his crew and everything. Well, we all have a pretty good idea what happened. It's like, yeah, like that would stand up in court. Random fucking town guy. And then Mike comes out to, hey, wait a minute. He gives that great, like, heartfelt speech about, I grew up in this town. I live here. My kids go to your school. And he's pointing out a bunch of people that he knows that he's supposedly friends with. And that was badass. He just told him, you know, tell to my face right now. I've got something to say. Yep, everybody shut the hell up.
It's like Tommy Boy. Remember that? I lost my virginity to your daughter, for crying out loud. Ted, you knew you were there.
Mm-hmm. That was a great scene.
Stick your head of a bull's ass.
Scott.
Okay. My number three is I really like the way they handled the lack of gravity that was supposed to be inside the ship.
Oh, yeah, that was cool.
There's actually some really clever wire work. They obviously put a lot of practice into it, like props to D.B. Sweeney here. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously a lot of it was stunt double, but there were clearly shots that was him like kind of flipping around and doing stuff. And yeah, it was all pretty effective. And it helped that they, you know, they cheated with like the lighting and stuff to make it easy on themselves. But then there was like that one really cool shot where he's kind of floating up or down. It's unclear. Along with his key that's got the
jump link.
Yeah. Like the way that they kind of felt the same speed was well done. So yeah, just some cool practical effects with that. I read a trivia. I don't know how apocryphal this may be, but like apparently D.B. Sweeney took it really seriously because he wanted it to be like a pseudo like audition for a Spider-Man movie, which apparently James Cameron had the rights to at the time in 1993. You know, instead of Aquaman. but obviously that did not come to be. But yeah, just cool if it's true.
Yeah.
All right. Let me ask you this: if he didn't break out of his little cocoon, would they have left him there, and he would have rotted like the other guy that he ran into?
Yeah, unclear.
What's their plan here?
Hick backwater aliens.
Yeah, unclear on like how he got out of the ship. Like he kind of jokes at the end, like they didn't like him. Maybe they just like tossed him out when, like.
Yeah, when they scooped out whatever they wanted.
Yeah, what did I call it? The human Semen. Hooch. Yeah, the like,
human hooch.
They didn't like his human hooch, and then just got rid of him.
Yeah.
But yeah, like,
they were trying to give him all the pleasures of the universe, and they kept blowing on the space book, and then...
Like, yeah. It's a cookbook. Bigger boards. There's a bit more space dust here.
Bigger boards with bigger nails. yeah.
Alex gave a nice Hibbard laugh right there.
Well, I certainly can't right. solve this mystery. Can you?
Well, we'll give it a try.
I am the chief of police.
All right. My number two is the big experiment scene. As you already mentioned, it starts with the spacesuits. I will honestly say this is the first time I saw this end-to-end, because when I watched this when I was younger, I had my hands between my fingers, or my eyes between my fingers. Seeing those spacesuits is kind of cool. I mean, I think they've done that in a few other movies. Even Independence Day does that, right? Like, what we think of an alien form is really just their spacesuit, so I like that idea.
Mm-hmm. That was cool.
Yeah. But why a guy was just hanging out in his, I have no idea.
He was drunk and he passed out.
And then...
Idiot.
Them just pulling him along the ground and just... I don't know. They didn't look as scary as I remember them looking. I don't know. And just what their whole thing is, like, they put that fucking whatever, the rubber, him, and... But it doesn't fit like perfectly, and then they had more around his junk. That was nice of them. And then they cut open the eye hole and the mouth hole, but it's not nothing to see. Like you said, we already mentioned it. There's nothing to seem very precise here with these aliens. These were just, they were drunk off their own hooch. But I mean, that needle is what I remember more than anything as a kid, and I always thought it went in his eye. Because I never had my eyes open long enough, but.
Probably did.
Cuts away.
Yeah.
I'm saying we don't see it anyway.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was pretty good, but not as scary as I remember. I remember that's just being the scariest scene of all time when I was younger, and yeah, it's pretty lame. But
well, now.
Yeah, but still, well, I don't know. I still have the fear of this shit. Not anymore, I guess. I'm just kidding, aliens. Don't come after me. All right, Scott or Alex, number two.
My number two. Is I like the overall theme of, like, guilt and forgiveness and PTSD that the movie has. Because if it didn't have, like, this kind of human element and growth, then I think more of the movie would have just fallen flat on its face. Like, it would have had, like, zero substance and wouldn't have been as impactful. Not that it was a financial success by any means, but to me anyways. So, yeah, I liked the way – and kids do this – when in the hospital bed, he points out, Travis points out, you left me. And then Mike just completely turns on him. Is like, yeah, his guilt got the better of him and he got really defensive. And then they don't see each other for 2 years. But it was really nice at the end where they could actually confronted their fears. They went back to the spot and forgave each other. So it was a nice... coming back around to them being friends, and the whole motorcycle theme kind of tied it up a little bit when he saw the sign, and that's why he went back to see him. So I thought that whole character growth was good.
Great. Nice.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Scott, number two.
Okay. My number two, you pretty much talked about it, Jeff, but the aliens and the eye needle. So the aliens, there's some cool like puppetry going on there.
Yeah.
But they aren't quite as scary. Like, it's almost hard to believe that they're that strong. Like, I guess they're just like ants or something. Like, you can't really like tell by looking at them.
Or they're using mind powers at the same time as their physical powers.
That's very possible.
Mm-hmm. And there's no gravity or different gravity.
So oh, that's true. Yeah. There you go.
Just the way they strap them in is creepy. The ship's creepy. But the eye needle that goes on for like ever. That was making me squirm a little bit.
Yeah, good thing it wasn't like zombie.
So
it eventually cut away.
Yeah.
So yeah.
That was it was a good bit of horror there. Before they ended. Yeah, they keep it a pretty PG-13 for the most part. Like, I don't think there's any like F bombs, right? There's barely any gore. Other than like the body, right? It's just kind of the goop, yeah. And then like the
the mummy,
and then like the needle bit that doesn't actually go in, but
I the language thing kind of, it was a little annoying because these guys are mountain men and they're getting accused by the cops and he's yelling, but he's like, "You son of a sea cook," and like they were never doing anything.
Realistically. You son of a bitch.
Son of a bitch. And said hell a couple times. I just felt like the language would have been saltier by these
guys. Yeah.
Like Robert Patrick's character.
Yeah, a bunch of lumberjacks. 100%.
Maybe that's why the movie wasn't as successful as it should have been.
Yeah. Maybe we should have had that already.
Yeah. Just saying.
Yeah, it's just... But it might have too, is just all that stuff I was mentioning. It was all very effective. Except, again, as you pointed out, the aliens... In and of themselves weren't that scary. But it's still good puppetry, though. Like, they're like little, realized little monsters. So, yeah, that's my number two.
All right. Well, my number one is the actual abduction scene. When he gets taken away, the light on him. That scene just kind of ingrained in me. And, like, I wasn't scared to watch that part because I knew no actual aliens were there. So I do remember it a lot more. I did remember him being in the air, like, kind of hovering.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
I think maybe that's from the trailer, something they cut out, but it's definitely in the poster, and I'm thinking that's where my memories got crossed.
Yeah, is it in the poster? No, the poster, he's still on the ground.
No, poster's on tippy-toes, like, barely above the air.
Yeah. Okay, he's barely in the air. I remember him being more in the air, but okay. Anyway, right. Yeah, maybe it's for the poster. Maybe it's just from other alien movies or X-Files or something. So yeah. I guess I misremembered it a little bit. But I definitely remember the light and him, his face and him freaking out. And that is always just a cool visual. Terrifying as heck. But yeah, just classic alien abduction. Mm-hmm. All right. Alex, number one.
My number one is the operating table in the experiments when they drag Travis... after they woke up the drunk alien from his nap, kicked him in the face, and was like, "All right, now this is happening." They take him over to the operating table. It was cool, him being dragged. Those clever shots of the puppets real quick, so you can't tell how goofy they look, or they must look. And then, yeah, they look like baby grandparents, kind of, when you see the long shots. It was creepy the way they were, they turned him on his face and they're undressing him. It's like, oh shit, here comes the anal probe. And they turn him over. It's like, oh, okay, good. Oh no, here comes the cheesecloth. They put him on there, which I thought was very effective, where they vacuum seal him into the thing and then that put that over his face so he can't breathe. It's like, damn, that was suffocating me a little bit. It's like, oh, watch your knife with your little alien hands, man. You're going to cut his eyeball out. That was gross. Then they put my worst thing is like, you know, like I've said before, the fucking lightning teeth in Return of the Jedi. Stuff going in mouths. So when they put the grape jelly in his mouth, I'm like, ugh. And then they put the device on there and in his ear. That freaked me out more than the eye thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, thank you.
All right. Alex. Or sorry, Scott, number one.
My number one.
My number one, the thing I liked most about this movie is...
That's why it's your number one.
And that... I thought you were going to go with Jeff and go that it's over. I saw the credits.
Yeah. So the last act of the movie is him remembering everything in the ship. And that's more traditional horror. But I like how the movie addresses other kinds throughout. You know, there's the horror of, you know, this isn't like horror as in monsters and like existential
slashing
murders and stuff, but like the horror of being alienated, no pun intended, ostracized in a small town like that. How quickly everybody turns. You know, like the horror of being accused of something that you know you didn't do. You know, the PTSD when he's not actually remembering stuff that happens to him. That's kind of like what carries most of the movie. And I like that they spend the proper amount of time with all that stuff. And I like the idea that for the most part, the movie, until, again, he comes back, is about how everybody else is dealing with everything. So it's not his journey really. It's the six or the other, sorry, the other five survivors, as it were. I just thought it felt different. It felt again normal, like something that could really happen. Not the alien abduction, but just everybody turning on these people.
Alien abductions happen, bro.
Oh yeah. Well, I mean, we know that. But the people in that small town didn't. And you got like townsfolk, like subtly or not so subtly, like threatening to be like, oh, I know some guys that'll make him spark. Like, all this, and that could have been elevated.
Yeah, that guy doesn't know shit.
And you get like a Lord of the Flies situation, you know, piggies running up the beach, a real sexy Asmar kind of thing.
Well, he did have the conch.
Did have the conch. They stopped listening to the conch, though, but yeah.
Oh, that's where we went wrong as a society.
Well, it was only, like, social contract that we were even listening to the conch to begin with.
Yeah, it's true.
Anyways, that's my number one, is the different kind of, like, more subtle horror on display in this movie.
All right, I agree with you. Anything else? Any honorable mentions?
Nope.
All right. I don't have any either, so let's rate it. As usual, we rate on a scale of 1 to 7, 1 being garbage, 7 being perfection. I give this movie a 4. I never really loved this movie. It was just terrifying. It's one of those movies that, like I said, I was scared of, but it was always out there. Like I said, a little let down, but this is mostly expectations at this point. So I'll give it a 4. I can't say I don't like it, but I can't say I do like it. Alex.
I'm still going to give this a 5. Okay. I still liked the story leading up to the flashback with the alien ship and everything. It was a good build up, and I think it paid off. So I like it. 5 for me.
All right, Scott.
Also five. Surprisingly, this movie was a lot better than I thought it was going to be. All the stuff I mentioned, it felt different. Maybe not traditionally scary, but still disturbing at points, or at least uncomfortable. So, five.
And we got, I mean, is it safe to say that Robert Patrick was the leading man in this?
Yes.
I'd say so.
I think D.B. Sweeney has to do more, like in a short amount of time.
Yeah, with the wire work and, yeah.
He has to act harder.
Character change, yeah.
It's Robert Patrick's movie.
Don't think I've ever seen that before.
We should watch Double Dragon, because I don't remember. Maybe it's a similar situation. We should find out.
Alright, well, it's time for our crossover topic, which is top five flashback sequences in movies and TV. And this was weird, and I just noticed my list is cut off, so hopefully I can find it. So, like, what's a flashback? I don't know.
Yeah.
This is what my list is going to be.
Oh. Well, my list is of people actually remembering things, and we see that through the flashback. It's not just, oh, the movie's taking you back in time to see how something happened. Somebody actually is actually remembering something.
Yes, I kind of held myself to that same standard there. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think you guys did it correctly. I think I'm failing the assignment. I also ran out of time and did not do it. So I'll take the F on this one, or at least the D minus.
Is the video game flashback on your yeah. on your list?
Yeah, I'll give you the worst grade imaginable: an A minus minus.
Mine is more like it's in the movie flashback, not a person telling a flashback. Anyway,
I see.
Airplane, the dance sequence. So
that still counts because he's remembering the past.
Yeah. I know that's one of the ones that is on course here.
Yeah, that's
that one's good.
That's on my list too. I just kept thinking about the old Santa that's got like a knife in the back. He's still dancing.
That's great.
This is on your list. I'll let you guys talk about it more. Alex, which number five?
My number five is actually a video game, Halo ODST, where you're just a random Marine. Doesn't speak and everything. You're like the silent hero. But every time you go to a certain section in the game, you find like an item from one of your other team members, or you find an actual other person from your team, and then you start remembering stuff of how you got onto that section of Earth and what happened to separate you guys, and you piece the story together like that.
So you're not the Master Chief?
No, you're not the Master Chief. I think that's why Halo ODST is my favorite Halo game. It's great.
Okay, Scott. Yeah,
there it is.
Number five.
My number five, and I've got a lot of mileage out of this one. That's Orgasmo.
Fiddly Den. Oh, Orgasmo. Yeah.
Yeah, and
that's right.
The hamster style.
Damn it! It should have been my number one.
I swear, I've never
greatest flashback ever. Yeah.
Okay.
Wait, what was that? I missed it.
Or Gazmo, when he talks about like why he doesn't use hamster style anymore.
Oh.
And he has a flashback, and he's just like eating cereal, and he tells his dad, "Dad, I don't know." Alex can correct me, but it's basically "Dad, I'm not going to use hamster style anymore." And the dad goes, "Okay." And that's the whole flashback.
He didn't even say okay. He just goes, "That's nice." And he flips his newspaper to a different page.
Oh, damn it. Okay, I'm going to adjust my list here, because I just thought of a really good one.
Oh, there you go.
All right, my number four, and now this one, this is maybe where I'm cheating a little bit, but I'm going to go with Fight Club.
Well, that's not cheating. That's higher up on my list.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought it's just more of you catching up. Like, once he figures it out, it's just you catching the audience catching up with how he's catching up. But it's not like, I remember when I was fighting myself in the parking lot. Remember
no,
that
that's,
scene?
That's his realization. He's remembering all those moments, and he's just like, oh, shit, that's right.
I
was just alone.
I thought about Fight Club, but I just didn't remember well enough to like, come down one way or the other. So, I'll allow it.
All right. Well, then, Alex, I'll talk about it more later. So that was my number four. Alex, what's your number four?
My number four is from Austin Powers Gold Member, when Austin Powers is supposed to get some big award and he has a flashback of when he was a kid. And he's like, I'd like to thank my dad. Go ahead, Dad, take a bow. And Michael Caine is not there. And everybody's laughing at Austin Powers for whatever reason. Even the janitor at the award ceremony as a kid. And then as an adult, pretty much the same thing happens. And the same janitor is still there laughing at him. Oh, man, what a great scene.
Michael Caine.
Michael Caine.
Michael Caine.
All right. Scott, number four.
Number four is Airplane. The flashback to the staying alive. And the stupid dance they do, like, with the wires. And mm-hmm. It's good. Good mm-hmm. times.
I like when they're spinning around and then he's not even holding her anymore.
Yeah.
It was also like the teaching them basketball. It's so stupid.
All right. My number three, and this would be from Pulp Fiction, when Butch is remembering the watch. With what's his butt? Jesus. All right. I'll let you talk about that one then, too.
Walking. Well, now I'm curious as to what your number one is. It's
up his ass.
This watch.
It's going to be damned.
Died of dysentery.
Before you let those greasy get their hands on that watch.
Yeah, good editing in post there, Jeff.
That's self-edited. Thank you very much.
Alex, number three.
My number three is from a Pixar film, Ratatouille. At the very end, when the mean old food critic takes one bite of this untraditional ratatouille, it's such a great scene. The camera just zooms in straight into his face really fast, and he's back in his childhood, back to when his mother used to make ratatouille for him, and takes him back to that moment. And he's in love with it. He loves the dish. The end.
He loves the dish.
Are you sure it's not Raccoonie?
It is not Raccoonie. There's no flashbacks in that movie. Or maybe there was. Yeah. You get. I don't know. Who knows?
One version there was. In that movie. For sure.
Yeah.
Wait, was that from the Everything All Aware?
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, Raccoonie.
Every Which Way But Loose?
Raccoonie.
All right. Scott, number three.
My number three is from Brain Candy. When he mentions that he had that he also his dad suffered from depression.
Yeah.
It's a flashback. Yep. Hey son, did you clean the house? Good.
Yeah.
What about the gun? Did you clean the gun?
Kind of petting his forehead.
He just reaches out, like, kind of like paws at his face. It's so dark. It's so funny, though. Did you clean the gun? The delivery on that, so amazing.
Six shots later, he finally hit a vital organ and died.
Number three, Brain Candy.
All right. My number two is from Terminator. And it's kind of like when Reese is telling, well, it's the future, but it's his past. Telling about, you know.
Damn, that's good. Yeah.
The robot wars and the dogs down there and finding the Terminators and all that shit. So it's Reese's story. I just like it because it's technically the future, but it's his past. And I think that's just a cool little way to present it.
Yeah, that's good.
So Terminator. Alex, number two.
My number two is Fight Club. I really like that when, Edward Norton is finally, or Cornelius, because that's the only name that we know him by, even though it's probably fake, is confronted by Tyler Durden and he tells him about all this stuff and then he's suddenly like awash with memories. Like, oh shit, yeah, that was just me. And I made up Tyler Durden. It's like, it was great.
Well, there was a real guy like in the very beginning, right?
Yes. So, I think it was a real guy. They both had the same briefcase, but then after that, he molded his Tyler Durden persona
after
him,
like making everything else about it. Yeah, yeah,
Mm-hmm. And then just like
sorry, that's Breaking. Before the airplane scene, though, right?
He sees so him when he's talking to him. He sees him in the airport, and right. then after that, yeah, I think everything is like made up.
Right.
Yeah,
I think I agree with that. Okay. Mm-hmm.
And just like in Brain Candy, he tries to commit suicide, shoots himself in the face, doesn't die.
Yeah. All right, Scott, number two
is Pulp Fiction in the Good Watch.
This watch,
your father, it's gonna be damned. Put it up his ass. I mean, we can do that all day.
Ladies and gentlemen, Foo Fighters.
You in the red. What did I say about the scooching? The scooching.
I've been on a Quentin Tarantino kick again lately. I've been watching a bunch of documentaries on him. I watched
Once Death Upon Proof a Time in Hollywood.
Oh. Again. I did yes. watch Hollywood again. I love that movie. All right. My number one, and this is when Gandalf is describing how he's returned in his battle with the Balrog.
Fuck. And... Damn, that's man, good.
Man, you could... I, you know, Jeff, I would also allow it as your number one when he tells Frodo... Ditka. He tells Frodo he was delayed. But also Ditka.
That's... You know what? I almost started this... when I started doing this, I was almost going to go into that scene. And I forgot. Those are two different scenes. So you're right. Yeah.
I'm sorry, Frodo. I was delayed.
But the beginning of Two Towers and him fighting the Balrog are badass.
Smote his ruin upon the mountainside.
Mountainside. Yeah.
Sorry, Frodo. I got my ass kicked by an older wizard.
All right. Alex, number one.
Pulp Fiction, The Watch. It's the first thing that I thought of when it came to flashbacks. Kind of a flashback, but also kind of a dream, but it really happened, so I still count it. And this stupid wife, pregnant wife, was thinking too much about blueberry pancakes to remember the damn watch on the kangaroo.
Yeah.
Bedside table! Oh, the kangaroo!
Hey, but it worked out. He got himself some Pop-Tarts and took out Mr. Kata. Oh my god.
Oh my god.
Never leave your Uzi on the counter when you take a shit.
Yeah, I know. Why wouldn't he take it in there?
Well, pretty much, like, every time he shits in that movie, something bad happens.
Yeah.
All right, Scott, number one.
My number one is The Usual Suspects. When Agent Kuyan is, like, in slow motion, like, putting together, like, all the different, like clues, for lack of a better term. It's good shit. At least the first time around. Mm-hmm. It still holds up. But yeah, the first time was like, oh my god.
Skokie, Illinois, Barbershop Quartet.
Yeah.
He's like, this actor is a fucking just mess. The director's even worse. Oh my god.
Oh my god. Kaiser Soze.
All right, any honorable mentions? I think I turned my D minus into like a solid B. I think.
Yeah, man.
I have a dishonorable mention. Jeff, can you take a guess? Something that had constant flashbacks that I hated. It was one of your stories.
The Miracu?
Yes. Arrow.
Oh, Jesus H. Arrow.
Yeah. I mean, that was before the Mirakuru. He was still like on that goddamn island.
Oh, he went to China for a little bit, but then went back to the island.
Like, what? I still love telling people that, like, yeah, I watched it, and I was getting tired of them going to the island, like, or doing the flashbacks to the island. And then I got to an episode where he literally goes back to the island, like, on his own. I'm like, no! Peaced out.
We just left here.
Just peaced out.
Those first six seasons were rough, but after that,
if you get through that, then it's really good.
I hate those people. Don't recommend a show if it gets good after 24 episodes.
But then an honorable mention.
I like that show, so I stand by it. But it did, the flashbacks were a bit much. I agree.
Yeah, an honorable mention to something that feels like we did this somewhat recently. Like, I want to say at least this year. And that is Citizen Kane.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, yeah.
A lot of flashbacks.
The whole movie's a flashback.
Yeah, pretty much. So.
Yeah.
I would say you could have said Family Guy.
Right, yeah. The cutaways, the flashbacks. Yeah.
Yeah. I thought about Scrubs, but like ones. Scrubs is all like fantasy. It's not actually. Like, sometimes they do flashbacks, but it's mostly just fantasy.
Mm-hmm. One of my favorite Simpsons things is when Homer is remembering like the first time he drank and he crashed his little bike or whatever, and we never let's never drink again,
and we never did. Yeah. Glug glug glug. Yeah. When I was 17.
Yeah.
All right, it's time for Alex Knows Sports.
I'm Alex, and I like sports.
Sports ball.
My news today is fuck you, Jeff.
Woohoo!
It's goddamn fantasy football. My team did really, really well. And of course, I would have beaten anybody else on our fantasy football league except for Jeff. This is fucking on fire. This goddamn San Francisco defense plopped. So did my kicker. Goddamn it.
Yeah, I'm looking at okay. I'm looking at the score.
You can't
both of our kickers sucked.
You can't blame the kickers.
Yeah.
They're the best athletes on the field. You know, it's just...
Najee Harris, he did pretty poorly. But everybody else, like Jalen Hurts, Higgins, Pickens, they were all, man, dominating. Still, Higgins not good enough. Higgins.
So after finishing dead last in the same league last year, I decided I would do this league and another league, and I am 0-2 in both leagues. So technically I'm 0-4. I apparently suck at fantasy football. I thought that maybe that should have been apparent after last season, but yeah.
Well, you dominate at real football, so it's only fair. Well,
I mean, it is true. I don't know what to do. I don't know. I think you know what it is. I think I'm too smart for fantasy football. I think that's my problem.
Classic nerd defense.
Yeah, I like overthought it. I went to like try and juice stats, and that's what bit me in the ass. Also, it didn't help in my other league that Cooper Kupp is hurt. So,
well, you should have known that when you drafted, fool.
Well, he was still up in the air.
I just want to say, there's only been two games, and I already have 100 more points than you.
than Alex or me?
You.
Yeah, that sounds right. Christ.
Alex, I have 90 more points than, and he must have got most of those points this week. Last week, he must have been bad.
Yes, I know. I was in the 60s last week. It's like, jeebus age. Everybody had a slow start on my team.
I mean, I did get, like, a fair amount of points this week, though. Like, I didn't do poorly. It's just... I think it was like an Alex situation. Right. Anyways.
Yeah.
It's time for NIM News.
Yeah.
It was yeah. Okay. So, just a couple of Vigigame notes here. Thanks to Starfield still being a potato on my computer, I've been able to dedicate more time to Baldur's Gate 3. And I finished up a run of that over the weekend. It's as I've been saying, it's a pretty cool game. I was disappointed in one aspect of it, so I'm not going to spoil here. But just overall, great, great voice acting, great dialogue, great story, even though it's a little like out there. recommend it. A lot of strategic thinking, a lot of swearing and save scumming, but I managed to get my way through it, and I look forward to like whatever DLC or other piece of additional content is released for it.
So here's a question: now that you finished it, are you gonna go for the world record in the sex speed run? When I heard this, I was like, this is incredible. Okay.
Yeah, like I haven't looked it up, but like, how fast is it? Do you know?
I think one of these videos says the former world record is 4 minutes and 12 seconds. It's faster than that. Somebody got to sleep with somebody else in Baldur's Gate 3 in under 4 minutes.
I mean, I'm trying to think of like how you like do that without using exploits, because the very first part of the game takes like at least like 5 minutes, like just moving your character from point A to point B. There's no sex there, but hey, mm-hmm. What do I know?
I know I gotta watch as soon as I haven't seen any of the speedrun videos yet, but I gotta watch it.
So, but yeah, what is
the... I want to see how they do it.
I did spend a lot of time on that game. That is not on the sex.
Although
sometimes. Moving on to movies. So Gareth Edwards, the creator, was screened recently. It's getting a lot of good buzz. This is his first movie that he's directed since Rogue One back in 2016. So I'm kind of interested to see this. I think we're all in agreement that Rogue One is the best Star Wars movie since the original trilogy.
I think so.
Yeah. So I'm looking forward to see what he does with the like this big sci-fi actioner.
Wait, who's doing this? Sorry, I missed it.
Gareth Edwards.
Oh. I don't know about that, Scott. I don't think he did much of Rogue One.
What?
they basically Kennedy? Like re-edited it, and they brought in, they redid it, and Gilroy came in. So we don't know how much of what Gareth Edwards actually went into Rogue One. We don't know.
I mean, I will defer to you on this. I just know that it does feel different than any of the other Star Wars movies.
It does. It definitely does. But
I mean, for like a lot of it wasn't scripting stuff in Rogue One that I really liked. Like, I feel like it's the only Star Wars movie to really get like scale right since the original trilogy. Like the big mm-hmm. space battle, like just the way that looks and feels. You know, the fighting on the ground, the way that looks. I don't know. Like, Gilroy is more of a writer than a director, right? Well, I guess he did one of the Bourne movies, though. Probably, I don't know. Anyway, yeah. Like I will defer to you, though, Jeff. If that's the word on the street,
that is the word.
Well, I will give him the benefit of the doubt. Still. Check out the creator when that's available. Finally, moving to the TVs or streaming services anyway. I think I'm caught up on Ahsoka. I think there's only 5 episodes out, right?
I think one came out today, but yeah, I haven't seen that one.
Okay.
I've only seen 3 episodes, so I have to catch up.
Okay, so I won't spoil too much. People were clamoring for some of the stuff that happened in the latter episodes. And I must have missed something. they were fine, but it wasn't like awe-inspiring as some people were. Like, I don't know, maybe I need more of a background with Rebels or whatever, with the Ahsoka character from the animated stuff. But it just a lot of stuff did not land with me. I enjoyed it, but
yeah.
But it wasn't like the end all be all for me.
I agree with you, Scott, and I do think if you watched Clone Wars, and I mean, Alex, not spoiler, Anakin may or may not show up, and
that was already a given.
Yeah, and so the relationship, showing the relationship in like some scenes with him and Ahsoka, his Padawan, and I think that's what got a lot of people. I think you're right. I think it was kind of missed on people like us who really didn't watch it, but you know. It's just good to see him with an actual director, and I thought he was better, better acting.
Yeah,
better
I liked. Don't get me wrong, I liked seeing him. I liked where they were going with a lot of that stuff. I didn't understand like whatever that lesson was supposed to be in the last episode. Like, if that makes any sense to you, Jeff.
Yeah.
Like, I did not understand it. Makes sense.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
and I kind of agree, too.
Yeah. But, yeah, so...
We'll talk about it when the series
yeah, is so over, once, yeah, so once Alex catches up with like, the fifth episode, then we'll go more in depth there. But yeah, I still like all the things that I like. So, Ray Stevenson is still really cool. I still like Mary Elizabeth Winstead. I'm still annoyed at just how dumb and stupid the New Republic is. Yeah. I do. I've kind of grown to like the old
X-wing pilot.
Yeah, yeah, that guy.
Yeah,
he's kind of been like a connective tissue between several of these series now.
Yeah, he's kind of like the Agent Coulson.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Of this.
And actually, this is the first time I've actually seen him like not be like not a Mary Sue, but. He's like, yeah, I don't think we should be doing this. We should get the fuck out of here. Like, yeah. where he's like acting like a real person. So, yeah. Anyway, that's it for me. Alex, anything you want to go over?
I'm running Starfield pretty well on my machine. Sorry, Scott. It's pretty cool. Every NPC character is a Bethesda face, so they're kind of very robotic and everything, but they look okay. They look pretty good. So far, I'm enjoying my time. I like the third-person shooting a little bit better, just because I generally like third-person shooters better. I know the game is more calibrated for first-person, so you're going to be a little bit more accurate if you're more comfortable with that, but third person's still not bad, and it's negligible enough that I play most of the game like that. The ship flying's okay. It's pretty good. Since it's not a dedicated, like, space flight sim, the controls are alright. The ship builder, though, is pretty awesome. It's a little tricky, because you can't just have, like, a blank canvas and build a ship from scratch. You actually have to buy a ship, and then you go into the ship builder and then delete all those parts. And that gives you money back so that then you can pick and choose whatever parts are available at the shipyard to put a completely like original ship together. So that feels a little bit weird that it's a roundabout way of doing it. Not too bad, but it is very interesting. I spent too many hours trying to build a ship, and ultimately I just reloaded an old save because I didn't like it and I got all my money back.
Yeah, people have made some pretty cool ships that look a lot like ships from other IPs.
That's cool. I don't want to look at those because I just want to go in fresh and do kind of my own thing, but I'll look at them later after I build my ship. But so far, so good. Yeah. Pretty cool.
I want to play it, so...
I know. Get to wait for some updates.
Happy. I know somebody that it works on their like laptop just fine. Like,
wow.
Yeah, I don't know what it is about my computer.
I heard that they had some deal with AMD, so the game works a lot better on AMD systems and graphics cards over NVIDIA.
Oh, I'm Intel NVIDIA. That laptop was AMD processor, but still NVIDIA graphics cards.
So okay. That might just be the difference also.
Yeah, it could be my processor.
Because, I got the same thing on my machine. AMD processor. I got the Ryzen and the an NVIDIA.
All I'm saying is my computer runs everything else I want it to. except Starfield. And Starfield's not pushing the envelope graphically. It's really not. So I don't understand.
Yeah, it isn't. Even on high settings, it runs really well. So, yeah, it must just be like that AMD bullshit thing that they have. So that's why they haven't optimized it yet for all systems.
If I was younger, I'd be raging.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can still see pictures of naked ladies on your computer, right?
In
he probably can't because he's been looking at too many pictures 4K. Of naked ladies. That's why his computer doesn't work anymore.
Well, I mean, I am almost blind at this point. So maybe that is pretty too.
The dead silence after I said that. It was very telling.
I mean, you... Let's be honest. You think I just, like, sit doing these podcasts and just... Anyway.
I think I got these forearms working out.
Yeah. Gotta keep the circulation going, right? I don't want to... What's the thing that old people get? The thrombosis?
Deep vein thrombosis, yeah.
Yeah. I gotta avoid
that. You don't want a dick vein thrombosis.
Yeah. Well, maybe I do. Hey-o. Anyway. Moving along. Anything else, Alex?
Nope, that's it for me.
All right. Jeff, anything you want to go over?
Yeah, I've also been playing StarCraft, and I've been using the Zerg, and...
Yeah.
It works fine on my computer.
Fucking Zerg Rush.
Not much. I've been watching Winning Time, but I think I heard that it's been canceled, and this is the last season, which...
What?
That's true. Really pisses me off, because I know how this season ends, and, I mean, I'm assuming I know how it ends. It's not going to be good that the show ends with what's going to happen because they don't get a chance to come back and beat
Cancer. Certain
city on the East Coast.
Oh, I thought it's like, oh, we don't get to see how Magic Johnson beat AIDS.
Or that too. I mean, not beat AIDS, but that whole thing.
Right.
I really thought this show was going to be like, follow the Lakers for a little bit and then it could change franchises. Because it's called Winning Time. Colin, the Laker dynasty, but it could be, you know,
yeah.
If you wanted to, you could follow the Patriots, or you could follow the Red Wings, or whatever. But
you could whatever. Follow the Kings and the Angels in the late 2000s.
Yeah. So anyway, I hope that's not true, but I'm pretty sure it is.
Timberwolves and
there you what? Go. Minnesota Timberwolves. What else? I think that's it. I've been watching Ahsoka. I haven't seen the one that just came out today. And yeah. That's it. I already mentioned I've been watching Quentin Tarantino movies, so that's it.
There it is.
Yep.
Okay, it sounds like we're good.
Yeah. Oh, we got a giant 12-foot skeleton for our front yard. And it's pretty badass.
It's pronounced Skellington.
So,
yeah. But I don't know where we're going to store it the rest of the year. So that really
only
can you equip it with a Stein of McGook?
Yeah, probably. I did name him Jabontic.
So. Awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess I should put a little speaker
out there.
I guess 12 feet is big.
I guess.
What's the matter, Yank? Skeleton.
I do want to put a little speaker out there and just have it play the EverQuest sound effects for the skeleton.
Dude, yeah. It's great.
Every day until like Thanksgiving. Until
next Halloween.
Neighbors gonna love it. Although I think all your neighbors are like hard of hearing, right, Jeff? So it probably wouldn't matter.
It's weird. Old people hearing, though, they can't hear words, but they can hear noises. Like my dad couldn't understand anything. But then the car wash, like a car is like has a squeaky hinge at the car wash behind their house, and they'd be like, "Oh damn, call the city." So who knows?
Yeah.
Call the president.
Gotta get the wall raised.
Yeah. It's a fight. My mom is still fighting today with this goddamn people. But they did. Anyway, thanks for listening, everybody.